Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Friday edition. Black Friday edition. 7 a.m. Jocks 94.5. We've got ball to discuss today. 16 college football games today. We had two college football games yesterday. NFL all day yesterday. And we've got a massive Saturday of college football coming your way. Glad that you're with us. Excited that you're with us. We want your thoughts on the Iron Bowl. We're going to spend a lot of time discussing that as well as other rivalry games coming up this weekend. Egg Bowl last night. Pretty entertaining matchup. And we'll get G-Mac connected here soon. Discuss it with him. Talk about Matt Corral, Dontario Drummond, and that offense. Being able to get back-to-back Egg Bowls for the first time since 2014 and 15. Matt Corral's 10th career game with a passing touchdown and rushing touchdown. That's tied for the second most in the last 25 years in Ole Miss history. Speaking of Ole Miss history, maybe the most surprising thing you'll hear this weekend. Last night, Lane Kiffin delivered the first 10-win regular season in the history of Ole Miss football. The first 10-win regular season ever by an Ole Miss football team. And when I initially heard it, I kind of thought, hold on, we've seen some pretty good Ole Miss teams. Obviously, one of those Freeze teams was really good. I can remember an Eli team making a push for an SEC championship game. And just didn't seem right initially when we thought about it, when we saw it. And so you kind of go back and you look and you just think, how could that be? They needed a bowl game to get to 10 wins every other time they did it. Well, 2015, won the Sugar Bowl, got them to 10 wins. 2003, won the Cotton Bowl, pushed them to 10 wins. Then you got to go back to 71. Their 10th win was a win in the Peach Bowl. Then you go back again and you look through the last 10-win season before that would have been 62, won the Sugar Bowl to get to 10 wins. 60 and 59, won the Sugar Bowl both of those times to get to 10. 55, won the Cotton Bowl to get to 10. Just wild to think about, even though it's not a traditional powerhouse program that we think about when we talk about SEC football or college football, just wild to think that Lane Kiffin just delivered, for the first time ever, a 10-win regular season for the Ole Miss Rebels. And the Rubik's Cubic's off to a bad start. Rubik's Cubic had in at Mississippi State yesterday. It was plus 0.5, but one down for the weekend as the Golden Egg Trophy goes to Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, and the Rebels. They got a chance to wind up in the Sugar Bowl again, which would be a fantastic season. And listen, can't take away from Will Rogers. I thought he had another spectacular game last night, and I really thought the game turned late in the first half with three drops. All three would have been touchdowns and had to settle for a field goal attempt, which Mississippi State would miss, their second missed field goal attempt. And I'm not really sure. I know Lane is the analytics guy, and Lane is the go-for-it on fourth down guy, and Lane is the high-risk guy. But I also think that if you're Mike Leach and you're Mississippi State, how you go into that game thinking field goals are going to win. The defense has been solid. The rush defense for State has been fantastic this year, but not against that offense. That's not an offense that I want to toy with or tinker with. I want to capitalize, maximize on my points against that group because I've seen what they're capable of, and I've seen what they can do, and obviously want to make sure that we go down and we take our chances. I just didn't think field goals were going to win that game last night, and Mississippi State unable to get it done. Rogers still goes for 336 and a touchdown. So with that, 4,449 passing yards on the season. That is the third most in SEC history in a single season. He also leads the nation in passing yards currently. Now, the wild part about it, when you just kind of look at the fact that he sits there with 4,449 yards for a single season is really kind of where he is. Mac Jones, 4,500 yards. Second most in a single season. Joe Burrow, 56-71 all time. So one of those drops goes the way of Will Rogers last night, and he's got the second most passing yards in a single season in SEC history. So Egg Bowl fun last night. Hope you all had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And I went absolutely ham on the strawberry pretzel salad last night, yesterday afternoon. I think I made three different trips just to get more. And there were a lot of folks on Twitter that were hating. There were a lot of folks on Twitter that said they loved it. There were a lot of folks on Twitter said they wanted it. I had a lot of it. And I think if I ate 10 pounds of food yesterday, probably 7 to 8 pounds were sweet potato casserole and strawberry pretzel salad. I had some turkey. I had some gravy.
Okay.
I had some, had a little bit of a, had a little bit of dressing, and you know, I made my miniature Thanksgiving sandwiches, but the strawberry pretzel salad, you just only get it once or twice a year. So you had to go in on that. And then something was different about the sweet potato casserole yesterday. And I had to do extra there. I mean, it was something different.
Something was different.
It was a, well, my mother-in-law made it two different ways. She made like the marshmallow topping,
uh-huh.
and then she made kind of like a candied pecan caramelized crust on half of it. And I, my immediate question was, why can we not do both of this? Like, why can we not have the candied caramel crust with the marshmallows on top of that? And apparently some people don't like marshmallows on their sweet potato casserole, which I don't quite understand. I feel like that goes nice together. But, you know, hey, here we go. We're trying. We're doing the best we can, and it was fantastic. So, your Thanksgiving good yesterday, Damian?
Absolutely.
Was it enjoyable for you?
Oh, man, stupendous. Stupendous. Got a chance to go down to the country, enjoy everything, enjoy everybody, eat, you know, sinful amounts of food. And, yeah, no regrets. No regrets. I got leftovers, and I'll be eating on that for the next, you know, however many days and until it just runs out.
As you should.
Absolutely.
And, you know, today we've got, you know, Black Friday today, so everybody's going to be out moving around shopping. 800-239-9569 if you guys want to get in. 800-239-WJOX. Obviously, a busy day for a lot of people getting out and about, trying to take advantage of deals, trying to get some Christmas shopping done, getting moving on that. But also, you got a lot of football coming up today. Four games at 11 a.m., 16 total today. UAB has got UTEP at home, senior day, 1 o'clock p.m. today. I mean, if you don't have anything else going on, why would you not get down there to Protective Stadium and check that thing out? It's on ESPN Plus if you wanted to watch otherwise. But UTEP is at 7-4 this year, 4-3 in conference. UAB 7-4, 5-2 in conference. This UTEP team got off to a pretty good start. They have lost three of their last four. But Ronald Waltz, 790 rushing yards this year, 5 touchdowns. He's over 5 yards a carry. Gavin Hardison, their quarterback, 2,762 passing yards. Now, he's 16-11, so he'll give the ball back. But this is a team that has actually done some good things this year. It just hasn't really been happening lately for this UAB team. But obviously, Bill Clark and the guys trying to get to 8 wins. They'll do it at home today, senior day, as the UAB season rolls along right there in Birmingham at that beautiful brand new stadium. You can roll along in a new vehicle from Royal Automotive, and it's easy because they have 4 dealerships conveniently located right off I-65 and Highway 31 in Vestavia. If you're looking for options and vehicles to choose from, Royal has got it. New vehicles being delivered daily, and Royal has a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles. Royal's the only place in Alabama that you can find GMC Acadia, GMC Yukon, Volkswagen Atlas, Buick Enclave, Volvo XC90, and so many options at one location. Royal Automotive Pre-Owned, Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, and Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills are all part of the Royal Automotive family of stores. Royal makes getting behind the wheel of a new vehicle easier than ever and lightning fast. If you only have an hour to shop, that's all you need at Royal Automotive. They'll even deliver your ride right to your driveway. Royal Automotive, it's exit 252 or I-65, means Highway 31 of Vestavia, or online at royalautomotive.net. Well, the college football lotteries continued as the gigantic cash grabs continue floating around college football. I can't even say this offseason yet. I mean, we're in season and these things are happening. Michigan State anoints Mel Tucker a contract extension, 9.5 per. That's a $5.9 million base, $3.2 million in supplemental compensation for media and personal appearances, $400,000 contingent annual bonus, and the contract runs through January 15th, 2032. So we just talked about James Franklin and his 10-year extension, 90-plus. We just talked about – now we're going to talk about Mel Tucker as these two face off in the Extension Bowl this weekend. Now we're going to talk about Mel Tucker getting another $90-plus million extension at Michigan State. Unbelievable money, unbelievable, unprecedented money there in the Big Ten. But I think there's a lot of different ways to look at this. One, these schools are showing that they're committed to football and they're committed to winning and they want stability and they want a familiar face in, somebody who's going to be there and be able to try to continue to bring that program where they believe that it needs to be and can be. Okay, that's good. You also look at the fact that Mel Tucker has not necessarily been a head coach for very long. And what are your thoughts on that? I mean, Mel Tucker's got 16 career wins. He's 8-7 in the Big Ten. 8-7 in the Big Ten. And he's getting 9.5 a year.
Whew. Man.
Yeah.
Must be nice. Woo. Must be nice.
Yeah. It was Mel Tucker had a lot to be thankful for.
Yes. For sure. For sure.
I had to be a good Thanksgiving. You know, Mel said, you know what? Get the extra ham.
Yeah, yeah.
Double up on the ham.
Extra anything. I got it.
Yeah. Why not? So let's you want to ramp it up a little bit, and you want to go with the fancy turkey this year? Let's do it. Let's go with that. Yeah. You want to cater the whole damn thing?
Have at it.
We can afford it. We're good. We can. You know what? We can manage that. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay because we just got 10 for 90 plus. Unbelievable. But you have to admit Mel Tucker has exceeded all expectations and done good things there at Michigan State this year. So East Lansing will have their head coach for the foreseeable future. And you got to begin to wonder now. I mean, I'm not saying it's panic time. I'm not saying that we sit back and we wonder, is Florida going to be able to get a coach? Is LSU going to be able to get a coach? I'm not going there. But you do begin to kind of think about, have their lists been adjusted already? And then let's think about Southern California. You think about USC and the amount of time that they have had. USC, the amount of look ahead that they have had to be able to go find a new head coach. And it doesn't appear as though one of their first few targets is going to be on the board. I do think that there's one big name out there for USC that's still possible. I do think that there's one big name out there for Southern Cal that folks probably would not believe would take this job that is in play. But we'll see, because the other ones hadn't really gone great. And now if Dave Aranda, who is rumored to have a contract coming his way from Baylor, where does USC go? And if that one other name decides to stay where he is, which is a pretty good situation where he is, then I don't know what Southern Cal is going to do. And you're not in a much different situation than you were probably with Clay Helton. And so when Billy Napier comes off the board for Florida or LSU, where does that school go? Because it feels like we're kind of running out of some options here. And Scott Woodward, you hear it from everybody. Oh, big game hunter. He goes and gets some massive names. Look what he got Kim Mulkey. Okay? It's good. Football a little bit different. And I just don't know how many sitting head coaches at legitimate Power 5 programs that, yes, might be a little bit behind where LSU is, are going to sit back and say, yeah, I'm going to bail on this to go be the next head coach at LSU. So I'm just not sure they want a part of it. It's going to be a lot of money. It's going to be more than these contracts that we've seen from Penn State and from Michigan State if they get their guy. If Scott Woodward gets his guy, you're going to see 8 figures a year. So just a matter now of can he get his guy out of there? Can he get his guy to come in there and be a part? So I don't know if they can. I don't know if they can make that happen. I don't know if he's going to be able to get that done. I don't know if he's going to be able to actually go in and be the one who can pull that name in. Greg McElroy with us now, straight off the call of the Egg Bowl.
That was not me. I just for the record, allow the record to be known that I did not sleep in. Let the people know that it was not a sleep in. It's not a sleep
in.
Hey, man, procedure.
You good? We good? Hey, control what you can control.
In all fairness, though, I have slept in one other time, and it was after the Cubs won the World Series, and I pressed the snooze button one too many times, got on the show at like 6:04 local. Worst feeling ever. I just want the people to know I'm responsible. Even after a wonderful Egg Bowl experience, I was a responsible person that was awake this morning on time. Just some technical diffs. That's all it was.
That's all it was.
But you know what? We live to tell the tale. We live to grind. And we aim to please here on a Black Friday. Are there any good specials online that I need to be shopping during this show?
I haven't hit that just yet, but
more of a Cyber Monday guy.
I'm sure we'll get 45 emails about a certain subscription site for 7 cents a month that you can have for the next 11 years.
So I'm going to buy an extra Comrex channel for the station. That's what I'm
going to go for.
Okay.
It.
Oh, that's
incest.
All right. Okay. Team No Sleep.
Here he comes.
Well, after the Egg Bowl was so gentlemanly last night, I feel like somebody needed to chip it up a little bit. I mean, I've never seen such a That was the happiest Egg Bowl of all time. Why was everybody in such a good mood? I wanted to see some anger. There was only one personal foul, and it was when a guy ripped a guy's helmet off. That was it.
You had a couple ugly face masks, and you had a targeting or two. I mean, there were a couple of big hits, but it wasn't what we had seen 3 years ago, 5 years ago, not even close to that. So
4 years ago, there was 220 yards of penalties and 21 penalties called. So last night was a cakewalk. That was a Boy Scouts compared to what we saw a couple years ago. What did you think of the game last night? We haven't even talked about it.
I thought it was an entertaining game. I thought it was a fun game. I thought the Mississippi State possession with the three drops going into the end zone completely changed what they were in that game. I thought it just swung all the momentum to Ole Miss. And when Ole Miss was able to capitalize on that second missed field goal in a row, I said this earlier before you were on, I was a little perplexed as to why Leach thought field goals were going to win that game. And I know it kind of looked like it was going that direction, but you had to think that the offenses were going to pick it up at some point in time. I wouldn't have seen myself settling for field goals, especially with, I mean, you guys talked about where what both kicker situations were. With the way Will Rogers is playing, I feel like I may have been a little bit more aggressive as far as trying to get out and trying to get a few more points. I thought Lane and Lebby made really good adjustments across the course of the game. You called it out one time that some of the perimeter throws just were not going to be defended, could not be defended, and why State didn't adjust to that. Nobody could really figure out. I couldn't figure out. I thought there were a couple of drives in the second half where the Ole Miss offensive line played really good ball, started to get really good movement, handled some of the movement up front from the State defense. But ultimately, I mean, Matt Corral did what Matt Corral does, continued to make plays. They continued to press on that defense, and they got a big win. And I was just I didn't hear you guys hit it during the game, but it's still kind of shocking to me. The first time Ole Miss has won 10 games in a regular season ever in the history of the program. Because I know they might not be a perennial power every year, but we've seen some really good Ole Miss teams over the years. And the fact that Lane just did it for the first time ever, that's pretty impressive. And it's a heck of a season that deserves to be celebrated.
No, it does. And I think when you look at historical significance like that, to do something at a place that's never been done, it's pretty neat. You and I both played at a program with programs with unbelievable tradition, right? I mean, with national championship trophies in the trophy case, with Heisman trophies in the trophy case, you know. And I remember, for instance, when Mark won the Heisman in 2009. It never been done before, and that was just really cool. Or we'd never beaten like six ranked opponents. It never been done before. It was really cool. So when you do something as a program for the first time, even though you do have a nice storied history, maybe not to the extent of an Auburn or an Alabama if you're Ole Miss, but still, they've won a lot of games and have a lot to be proud of with their football program. It's amazing. It was really, really an amazing. And knowing the depth and quality of this league and this division more specifically, to think that team is going to finish second is pretty remarkable. Obviously, one bad performance against Alabama. They had the second bad performance against Auburn. But for the most part, man, they played really well against good teams. Last night was an example. A&M was an example. A handful of others in which they should be very proud of. So couldn't be happier for Lane. Couldn't be happier for Ole Miss fans. They were definitely the better team last night, and they are a more physical team this year than they were at any point last year. So you can see the progress being made already. So if they can replace some of that offensive skill, they're going to be a handful for quite a while.
And there was another game on yesterday that I'm not sure a lot of people were able to see or wanted to see. I did want to see some of it. And if you want to see better, you can go see Dr. Mark Michelson and Dr. Jennifer Michelson right there at Michelson Laser Vision. Variety of treatments, including laser eye surgery. They can treat nearsightedness, farsightedness, astigmatism, cataracts, etc. And you can eliminate your dependence on glasses or contacts if you're interested in a LASIK procedure like I was. Dr. Mark Michelson performed my LASIK procedure over 20 years ago. I was legally blind. My vision feels like it's still perfect today, thanks to Dr. Mark Michelson. World-class treatment right here in Birmingham with Michelson Laser Vision. A national leader in eye surgery for three decades, Dr. Mark Michelson was the first surgeon to perform the LASIK procedure in the state of Alabama, and that's why I entrusted him to perform my procedure, and I'm still glad I did to this day. And when you select Michelson Laser Vision for your treatment, the cost you're quoted for treatment is what you're going to pay for everything. Surgery, recovery, all post-op visits, no add-on fees, no nothing. It's a variety of easy and affordable payment plans available. You can visit MichelsonLaserVision.com for more information or call 205-969-8100 for your free consultation. Do what I did. Visit MichelsonLaserVision.com or call 205-969-8100. Set up a consultation with Dr. Mark Michelson. Find out if you're a candidate for the LASIK procedure. And if you are and you're interested in having it done, this is the guy to go see. 205-969-8100 or MichelsonLaserVision.com. All right, so Greg, I mentioned it. Fresno 40-9 over San Jose State yesterday. They're going to finish up 9-3. It's a really nice year. It's kind of similar to Ole Miss. An ugly loss or two in there, but altogether a solid season. Jay Kaner goes for 343 and four touchdowns last night. They held San Jose State to 64 yards rushing. Jay Kaner's going to finish up with 3,810 yards, 32 touchdowns, 9 picks. Fourth career 300-yard, four-touchdown game last night. Eighth 300-yard game of this season and his third passing game with four touchdowns this season yesterday as well. What a year for Jay Kaner and Fresno State. They wrap it up yesterday on Thanksgiving, but a solid season for the Bulldogs.
Very, very good. And I'm glad we spent that 3 hours in the preseason watching them. Wouldn't that make it fun? It kind of made it like they were our team.
Absolutely.
And they play like it, man. I mean, I got a ton of respect for that team. I had some people tell me in the preseason, hey, man, check out Fresno. You're going to like what you see. And sure enough, me and Cole popped the tape in back in August. Feels like yesterday. And we were not disappointed. They have definitely had a great year. Between Hayner and the physicality they play with on both lines of scrimmage, there's nothing you could possibly love more. Seems to fit us. Cole wants guys up front along the offensive line that are starting fights. I want a quarterback that's carving you up. It seems like a perfect team for the Mac and Cube show. Are you good with that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's our adopted son right there, Fresno State Bulldogs. I mean, they fit in perfect, like you said. So, all right, we are just over 3.5 hours away from college football kicking off today. Boise State is at San Diego State. It's an 11 a.m. kick on CBS. Kansas State's Texas, 11 a.m. kick on Fox. Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan, 11 a.m. kick on ESPNU. And then Ohio's at Bowling Green, 11 a.m. on CBS Sports Network. Those games are part of 16 college football games that will be on your television screens today. That includes UTEP at UAB at 1 o'clock on ESPN+. Listen, if you got nothing going on today, if the rest of the family's going out to hit Black Friday, or you and your son are stuck at home and all the ladies are heading out to go shopping, why not head down and check out UTEP at UAB today at 1, Senior Day. Get to go check out that beautiful new stadium. Watch some good football. UTEP 7-4 on the season, 4-3 in conference. You got that one right here in your backyard in Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to get to those games coming up today. We're going to hit all the rivalry games. We are going to get into the Iron Bowl. We're going to let you know our annual Iron Bowl wager at some point during the show today. And we've got more Rubik's Cubic for you coming up today as well. John Parker Wilson will be with us after this. Chris the Bear Felica will be with us at 8. And that Rubik's Cubic will come your way at 9 a.m. So let's get going on the Iron Bowl when we come back next, right here on McElroy and Cublik in the morning. Welcome back in, McElroy and Cublik in the morning. Full speed ahead now as G-Mac is with us. Was not his fault. He was awake. He's texting us well before the show began. So my only question is, you drove back to your in-law's house last night. You drove over yesterday morning. So because I stated when I first came on that I think I went almost 2 pounds of strawberry pretzel salad yesterday. Wow. If I had 10 pounds of food yesterday, between 7 and 8 was sweet potato casserole and strawberry pretzel salad. The sweet potato casserole was something extra yesterday. Whatever they did, they need to do it from now on. And I'm not going to skip out on the strawberry pretzel salad because I only get it once or twice a year. Where does this fall in for you now? Because I know you didn't gorge before you left at like 9 a.m. yesterday morning or 8 a.m. So where does the strawberry pretzel salad happen for Greg McElroy?
We had a little strawberry pretzel salad on Wednesday night, but it was alongside steak. So I did not have this year. I missed out on a traditional Thanksgiving feast, which is fine. It doesn't bother me that bad. I have my strawberry pretzel salad. And I'm perfectly good with the steak.
Okay. Right.
I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over eating steak.
No, nor
over
should
turkey.
You. I just want to make sure you got the strawberry pretzel salad.
Oh, yeah,
somehow,
that's a non-starter. If for whatever reason the strawberry pretzel salad was not available Wednesday, that would have been problematic to my preparation for Thanksgiving.
I did appreciate our guy Jordan Rogers. He was his Instagram story was JoJo making strawberry pretzel salad. She has a homemade recipe, and he was actually calling me out for not having extra whipped cream on top of the strawberry pretzel salad. And I was like, yes, more sugar and calories is exactly what that needs. So
yes.
Next time I'll remember that and go back to that. So
that seems aggressive. That seems aggressive. That might be one. That might be one I avoid. I did not know that that was. I thought that was illegal in 48 states to put extra calories.
I mean, the amount
calories.
That I ate yesterday was just not safe. It's not. I feel like my cheeks are extra bloated today.
It makes me feel better. The only I had Waffle House yesterday, so that was all I had on Thanksgiving. But
nothing
I'm
wrong with that.
Ouch.
No, I'm unapologetic about it because there's nothing better. It was the one thing I wanted. I like told the lady at the, I was like, I'm just so glad you're open because this is the only thing that sounded good today.
So good.
And I smashed it. It was legit. So I'm not mad about it. Everyone's like, oh, you poor thing. I'm like, poor thing. I feel bad for y'all. Y'all were stuck eating turkey. I was smashing.
Yeah.
I was smashing what I wanted.
That's the problem.
All right. You guys can have your traditional Thanksgiving. I'll take this hash brown bowl, make it extra crispy, and toss a little hot sauce on top. We're cooking.
Let's go. Absolutely. All right. Let's go to the Bud Light hotline now. Welcome in our friend John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, talks some Iron Bowl, and he joins us every Friday thanks to Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Craneworks, Craneworks, yeah, the big dog's got it.
John Parker Wilson on McElroy and Kublik in the Morning is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. Now, John Parker Wilson.
John Parker, was there strawberry pretzel salad as a part of your meal yesterday?
No, we did not have the strawberry pretzel salad. I did hear sweet potato casserole, though, which is definitely a favorite of mine. We had carrot cake. My sister makes a really good carrot cake. We had some apple pie, peanut butter pie, also another fan favorite. So we no strawberry pretzel salad, though. Not too familiar with a strawberry pretzel salad, to be honest with you. How do you even give it a Google?
I can get you the recipe. It's via my Twitter there. I've been posted multiple times.
I'm,
but I appreciate that you went all desserts first. Like, we asked you the things that you ate, and you just did a laundry list of desserts first. You just skipped over everything
else. Well, I feel like I was kind of led into that, to the desserts, but
it's a salad, and you eat it on the side with your meal. It's not a dessert.
The strawberry pretzel salad this is?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
You're gonna love
it. I like that. I like a sweet side. I'm a big fan of everything. I'm a big fan of Thanksgiving. I know some people would rather eat Waffle House on Thanksgiving, but mm-hmm. I'm actually a big fan of the Thanksgiving feast.
Some people, all people. Tell me who doesn't want hash brown bowl over dry turkey. I'm just saying.
Hash browns are pretty good there. I'm a big, tough to beat. You're making a good point.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm all for a good Thanksgiving meal, but if you're going to have a second alternative, and if you can get hash brown bowl from an open Waffle House in the middle of Mississippi, I mean, you haven't lived until you've had Waffle House in the middle of Mississippi on Thanksgiving. Just saying. Like, I might drive over there and double up on Christmas. Hammer one on Christmas, too. I don't care.
Why not?
Yeah, for sure. JP, when we look at this weekend's game, obviously it's hopefully for our boys a bit of a one-sided affair. But if there's one thing we know, it's tough to play at Jordan-Hare. I mean, it's a difficult spot, always has been. We've seen great Alabama teams struggle in Jordan-Hare. So what was your experience like playing at Jordan-Hare? How was it difficult for you, and what do you remember most about those two seasons you played there?
Wasn't good. We didn't win down there, so not the best memories in Jordan-Hare. We were finally able to win my senior year when we, I don't know, how many was it, six in a row that Auburn was able to rattle off against us. So my junior year, we lost. I think it was a close game. Then my freshman year, we lost. That would have been the Shaq Brody game, where I actually had my first rushing touchdown of my career against Auburn. So I guess it's not all bad memories down in the plains, but it is a tough place to play, man. I'm glad it's not a night game. I think the night games are even more hostile to go down there, but it's there's just a feeling when you go down there that crazy things happen. And like you said, you know, some really good teams have struggled down there. I think the fans know it. I think the players know it. So it's so cliche to say we throw the record book out the window. Well, you know, Auburn had a pretty good season that kind of struggled with three straight losses. So Brian Harsin's got a good football team. And, you know, they would love obviously nothing more to come in and knock Bama off any kind of playoff hope. So this is a huge game for both programs. I think Alabama's trying to get ready for the postseason play, and Auburn's trying to get back where they were at the beginning seasons before they lost three straight.
John Parker Wilson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Thanks to our friends at Craneworks here on a Black Friday. When you look at this Auburn team, is there a specific part, position group, side of the ball that you feel like could be most complicated for Alabama when they face off tomorrow at 2:30?
You know, I would have said it was Bo Nix. I mean, Bo Nix, the ability that he has to create plays, I think would have been difficult for our secondary. I mean, Alabama's secondary has kind of struggled. So if you got a quarterback that can extend plays, I think that causes even more problems. But, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, I think Tank Bigsby has got to get going to give Alabama problems. You got to get his running game going. You've got to establish a ground game. And when we've seen Alabama team struggle, you know, A&M last week against Arkansas, they were able to run the football and not just be one-dimensional and get the ball downfield and you know, put Alabama, put Pete Golding in situations where they've got to do something different, where they've got to be a little more creative in play calls, and that's when they've struggled. So I think Bigsby's got to get going. They didn't have a very good game. You know, last week he had, 164 yards, but it, you know, kind of has struggled a little bit in the past few games. So I've looked to Bigsby to try to get going against Alabama and to be able to create plays downfield.
When you look at Alabama's defense, there have been some individuals that have not played up to the standard that we've come to expect from them. Knowing this is a rivalry game, and your legacy is kind of written with how you perform in games like this. It's just the reality of it. Do you anticipate maybe a more spirited effort from that side of the ball? Because some of those guys over there, man, there hasn't been real consistent at any point really this season.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, not a lot of consistency, and I think that's what the most frustrating thing is, because we've seen this defense be great, and we've seen how high the ceiling can be, but just haven't consistently played there. You know, I thought it was interesting last week towards, it was probably middle of third quarter. Kool-Aid McKinstry came in for Josh O. So Jalen Armour Davis, he's been playing at a pretty high level recently, came in with Kool-Aid McKinstry to play the other cornerback, which I think kind of gave him a spark. But I think you're right. I think, you know, we've seen guys like Phil Mathis and Will Anderson to me consistently play with energy, consistently play with passion and going out and get it done. And knowing that we've got a high ceiling, that we can get there, I think you're right. I think, you know, we've even seen some guys talk about it this week in the media of, doesn't matter where you're from, like this game, you know, the way TV is now, you can live in Michigan or live in California and realize how big the Iron Bowl is. But we know how big Ohio State and Michigan, we know all the rivalries going on. And these rivalries get talked about every year, and the players that make plays get shown every single year. So you're right. You do want to be part of this highlight clip. I mean, if you're Will Anderson, you go out and get three or four sacks, they'll talk about this forever. If you're Malachi Moore and you have two interceptions, they'll talk about this forever, especially a guy like Malachi who's from the state who knows how big it is. So, yeah, you bring the intensity of this game probably more than you typically would. But I think Auburn does it too, right? I mean, sure, they're not going to go to the SEC championship, but it's still – I mean, if you could knock off number two or number three Alabama as they're getting ready to go play Georgia, they talk about that forever, too. So I think that's what makes this game so fun.
John Parker Wilson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Thanks to Craneworks. He joins us every Friday. Not many teams have really even become a speed bump for Bryce Young throwing the football this year and being able to slow him down. If Auburn were to be a little bit of a headache for him doing that, do you think Alabama has the capability to just commit to the ground game and be able to be dominant against a defensive line that looks like it's sort of run out of steam here down the stretch a little bit, doesn't have the numbers that maybe some of the other groups that Alabama has faced this year?
I think they do. Last week, Brian Robinson had, 27 carries? So where we've seen Coach Saban in the past really like to play multiple running backs and to give, nobody the bulk of the carries, I think, you kind of got to now. And regardless of who the running back is or how deep we are, I think Brian is a type of guy who's perfectly built to be able to handle those bulk carries. He's a big guy, 6'1", 225. He plays even bigger than that. He runs downfield. He's kind of more of a between tackle runner. So, like you said, going against a little bit of a weaker Auburn defensive front, you would want to try to exploit that. You want to try to get after it. I think the passing game of Alabama has helped out our running game too. I mean, the ability that Jameson Williams has to get downfield is definitely softening up secondaries. It's keeping them in the two shell. It's keeping those safeties a little bit deeper. Well, that just makes the ball, it makes it easier to run the ball. So we've seen, Bill O'Brien try to take advantage of that and commit to it. So I think it's got to be part of the plan. It's got to be part of the game plan going into it, saying, okay, even if they're playing too deep, even if they're bringing a guy down to the box, we've got to commit to the running game just because it is a big part. We don't have a lot of production on the tight ends. So when you don't have that, you've got to have something besides just throwing it to Mechie Williams. And right now, that's been the running game.
John Parker, we always appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Have fun at the Iron Bowl tomorrow. And as we all know, each and every Friday, you're brought to us by Craneworks.
Thank you so much, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all and your family. And Craneworks is the Southeast leader for crane and equipment rental. Give the big dog a call for your next lift, machinery removing, or rigging project. But Craneworks has some exciting news. They're adding to that lineup. They now are introducing their company Wasteworks, which can meet all of your residential and commercial roll-off dumpster needs. So check out WasteworksUSA.com for more info. That's WasteworksUSA.com for that new product they have at Craneworks and Rental Works. So appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
Great stuff, John Parker. Thank you so much. Speaking of that Iron Bowl, it's time for us to get into it. We will begin to discuss it and break it down on this next segment when we get back. And then also Chris the Bear Felica coming up at 8 a.m. G-Mac, going to talk about more games, more lines, more spreads there with him.
Yeah, we're getting everybody dialed in. If you're going to spend a bunch of money today on Black Friday, we want you to do it with a little extra cash in your pockets. Go tune in here in the next 17 minutes. Chris the Bear Felica will join us. One other thing you need to consider, too, is right now it's freezing outside. I don't do cold weather. It's never been my thing. Neither do pests. That's why they're finding their way into your house. All right? And you got to stop it before it gets started, because right now the pros at Wayne's are going around spraying and making sure you're putting up a huge fence around your house, not getting any of those pests into your house right now. 100,000 customers right now, they're currently serving in Alabama and communities throughout the Southeast. They also have been in business since 1973, and they're quality pro certified, which only goes to the top 5% of pest control companies in the United States. That's how you become the number one rated pest control provider in Birmingham with 1,100 positive Google reviews. Call 866-WAYNES-1. Mention offer code JOCKS for $60 off your initial EnviroPest treatment. That's 866-WAYNES-1. Give the pros a Wayne's today. Give the pros a call at Wayne's today at 866-WAYNES-1.
Key matchups we're watching in the Iron Bowl, we discuss them next on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Turkey Day Classic yesterday goes the way of Alabama State. 43-9, they knock out Tuskegee. Outrushed Tuskegee 188-68. Tuskegee just 2 of 10 on third downs yesterday. So a nice win there for the Hornets in the Turkey Day Classic as they smashed Tuskegee 43-9. A little extra college football action yesterday, GMAC.
Love that. Talk about a little extra. These guys will go the extra way because they're good guys. You can trust them in your home. They're the guys at Crocker Moving Services. They're a local company owned by an Iraq War veteran, Eric Crocker. Crocker believes in hiring movers that you can trust. They do a full background check and a drug test on every single employee. They're good guys. Whether you need your whole home packed up and moved, your company headquarters moved across the country, or you just want them to come rearrange your living room, these guys have you covered. They also do deliveries for furniture that you purchase and need to get to your house. So call or visit them online today for a free quote. The website, CrockerMovingServices.com. That's CrockerMovingServices.com. Support your veterans by choosing Crocker Moving Services for your next move.
All right, matchups in this Iron Bowl that are intriguing to you, that you're focused in, kind of dialed in on. I think for me, it starts just with that Auburn secondary.
I knew you were going
to say will they
that.
Be able to sort of are they going to be able to just sort of alter the RPO game of Bryce Young in Alabama at all? I mean, I think it'd be easier to say, you know, can you prevent the deep ball? Can you take away the explosives? But I think the disruption in the RPO game probably has to happen first if Auburn's going to be any way successful on defense in this game, because I think there are a lot of ways that we can look at it and say that they're going to struggle defensively. But if they can sort of – if they can make Bryce Young hesitate, if they can force him to rethink things, if they can force him to move a little bit, even though he's had success doing those things, I think that has to happen first more so than anything else if this Auburn defense is going to be a headache and a problem for Alabama tomorrow at 2:30.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the secondary has to hold up really well. I mean, there's no denying that. One of the biggest matchups in the game, I think, is Roger McCrary working against Jameson Williams. I think that matchup's really interesting. I like McCrary a lot. The guy's a first-round pick, but so is Jameson Williams. It's a fascinating matchup, I think, on the perimeter. I think along the offensive line, there's some individual matchups that have me a little bit intrigued, Cole. I don't know if there's one that really jumps out more than the others. Like last night was 100% Charles Cross against Sam Williams, right? I don't know if there's one super marquee matchup, but I think individual matchups within the matchup for Alabama's offensive line working against Auburn's defensive line is fascinating. And then I think Bryce Young against Zakobe McClain. I bet you he draws that assignment a couple times in the spy. Obviously, Zakobe McClain's going to be pressuring. He's a very, very, very high-energy player. And will likely, you know, draw a pivotal role in trying to diagnose some of those RPOs and create some issues by getting in passing lanes. So those would probably be the three matchups that I'm most interested in when Alabama's offense is on the field and Auburn's defense is on the field.
I have to think that a key matchup, I don't know if it's one that I'm necessarily looking forward to or one that I'm excited to see because of, you know, the back and forth or how good it could be, kind of like with the one that you mentioned last night, would be Bredarius Ham against Will Anderson. Ham at right tackle. We see Anderson, I feel like, on the right side a little bit more than the left side, at least when you're talking about the offensive line, not the defense. And that's one that I feel like could be very problematic. I would anticipate a tight end or running back or both to that side often. But where it becomes critical, I think, is not just the tackle to that side, but also the guard to that side, because the amount of issues that Will Anderson has caused when on the move this year, be it as the penetrator or the loop man on a twist, the percentage of his success there has been very high. And a lot of times what happens is that guard either can't get off or that guard recognize it early enough and he's not able to even help out, stop him as a penetrator, and he disrupts things or is able to make a play. So it's actually both offensive linemen to the side of Will Anderson and maybe even the center a little bit are going to have to be good. So Nick Brohm's going to have to actually be heads up as to where 31 is to be able to come over help and try to offset a little bit of how he could possibly affect this game plan that Auburn's going to bring with T.J. Finley now at quarterback. So I don't know if that's like last night. Yeah, Anderson Cross was going to be a good matchup. I actually texted you during the game. Like, Anderson only won like 7 inside moves against Vanderbilt last week. Like, why would you be jump setting him so quickly? I have no idea why you would be jumping out there and just giving him inside moves. And then after getting beat inside once or twice, then he just had his way around the outside, and it was a long night. He's a good player. So, Will Anderson, better player. Got to come up with a plan. Got to have a plan to be able to sort of slow that down and be able to keep Will Anderson from wrecking your game plan, because it's happened often. All right, we're going to try to wreck the lines this weekend with Chris the Bear Felica of College Game Day. He joins us each and every week thanks to our friends at Atlas Senior Living. And when we come back, it will be a rivalry week edition of The Bear. That's next on McElroy and Kubik in the Morning. Listen online, joxfm.com, the apps in your app store, iPhone, Android, search WJOX, and you can grab us there. Or just tell your home smart speaker, enable the Jox skill, or listen to Jox.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.